is Miles McFlower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And this is your show for metaphysics and spirituality, our first of a whole long series, I hope, right here on BBS.com radio. And this show has been aired and is continuing to be aired on Saturdays at 12 noon Phoenix time on KXAM radio. That'll be broadcast, of course. Now, for those of you who are new to this show, let me go over some of the ideas that we try to talk about and get others to participate in. Hopefully you will be calling in sometime this evening if you'd like and talk to me about your ideas as well as the ones you're going to be hearing from me. And when we have guests, hearing from those guests as well. I'm hoping that we can get to know each other, just as I have done with the audience here in the Phoenix area. Now, what does it mean to talk about metaphysics and spirituality? It's sort of like explaining how the universe works, but going beyond what normal science does. Because when I talk about metaphysics, I'm really referring to the physics that goes beyond normal physics, goes beyond normal science, and sometimes it's not yet ready to be proven by the methods that some scientists use. Also, spirituality to me is a way of understanding the mind of our own creator. To me, spirituality is the thought of that creator as it is represented in ourselves and everything else that's available here on Earth and maybe in other places as well. Tonight, I thought it would be a good idea to start our very first show talking about the afterlife and some ideas that are basic to the concepts that I think help people to understand what the afterlife is about. Hopefully, you're going to find this an interesting subject. If you do, you can give us a call toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. If you happen to be in Canada, call 888-815-9756. And let's begin by just me touching base with those of you who hopefully have thought about this yourselves, that this is not the only life we're going to have in this realm. We're going to be functioning in a physical world in a material sense, and we're going to be living what I call a relatively short life. Beyond this life, there are lifetimes in other dimensions in time and space, such as the next being sometimes referred to as the astral dimension. And in that dimension, we will all live a considerable length of time longer. Now, many people ask me, well, okay, if I'm going to die, and I'm going to die from this world, will I cease to exist in consciousness, and will I kind of like live a different life where I won't remember where I was before? Well, then, in a sense, you really wouldn't be going on to live at all, because consciousness is really what I refer to as the existence of life. So to live in some other consciousness in a different way, to me, would not signify really a continuation of life. So what my answer is, and I know this to be a fact, I know it by experience, not just by talking about it from my thought processes or from what I've read other people to have had as their experiences or beliefs, but these are experiences that I have had myself through out-of-body traveling. And it's very important that you realize that I'm not referring to some other source when I talk about what I'm saying. When we die from this world, we go on in full consciousness to live in another dimension of time and space that's part of the astral world or astral dimension. There are seven major subdivisions to this other dimension of time and space that we live in. When we go on to live there, we live, amazingly, a life that is more full and much longer than the life that we live here. It's longer because a part of physics changes, and we actually live in a greater amount of time for the same amount of time that exists here. So a few years here can be many, many more years that exist in this other realm on the other side. That means to people who are living here, we are experiencing time in a different way than people who are living in this astral dimension. So in the next life from this one, the amazing part of it is that we are all going to live for the equivalent of hundreds. I say hundreds. I mean, talk about multiple hundreds of years in comparison to the time that we lived while we were alive in the physical world. Those hundreds of years to us will just be like time is here. But if we observe people, and we sometimes can observe people and be in touch with how people feel and think to some degree within the physical world, we notice that they are barely moving in comparison to us. So there's some reasons why people in this other dimension, after they die from this world, don't spend a lot of time really observing and being concerned about us other than those who are most close to them. Because in actuality, we're not very interesting. We're barely moving in time and space in comparison to them. They're living in a heightened, accelerated time in which they live much more time for the same amount of time that we live. I hope you're following that. Time is such an interesting subject, isn't it? And there's so much really to learn about just that one idea that I just mentioned and to understand. But today is the basics. I'm not going to go into all the explanations of how and why this sort of stuff actually takes place, because we could spend one show just on one idea such as time. And I could explain all kinds of intricacies about it. If you really are interested in it, I wrote a textbook on that subject, and you can read about it at your leisure. But for today's show, I'm just going to give you an overview of what it's like to live in places other than what I call the physical world, or some people call it the etheric or electromagnetic physical world, the one that we live in, the one that we're all familiar with. Let me start off by saying this. When someone dies, when they first die, they don't necessarily travel to another dimension of time and space. Many people, not all, I would say over the majority, over half of the people, tend to stay for a week or two within a part of the physical world called the electromagnetic or etheric part. During that time, they can't really have very much contact with other people. Only people who have fairly good etheric sight might be able to see them or to notice them in some way, because they're already in an accelerated time, in an accelerated space, in comparison to the material or physical part of our world. They're living in the part where radio waves and electromagnetic radiation is, and they sense themselves as being fully alive. They even can see their own body, but their body tends to resemble their physical body as it was, but they do notice that it's slightly different, because in this electromagnetic part, they actually have the ability to move through most dense physical objects. They can actually walk through a wall, as an example, in most circumstances. And this gives them a sense of relief as well, because they don't feel any of the discomforts or pain that their physical body may have been going through, including the part of their own death. Most people, and this may surprise you, at the point of death do not sense or feel the pain of death. The body may go through certain sensations, but the person themselves is freed from that by moving into this electromagnetic or etheric part of themselves, and they move out of their physical body and completely separate from it, becoming fully conscious in only their etheric or electromagnetic body. At that point, all of the pain that they had in their physical body is gone. I'm sure that relieves most of you, the thought in most of you, the thought that maybe there's some type of severe suffering during the actual death process. Actually, when death arrives, it's a release of pain and suffering for most people. If someone stays very tenaciously holding on to their physical body for a very long time, wanting to resist this movement into the etheric part, they may, during that time, of course, experience some pain and suffering. I don't recommend that, by the way. When we all are approaching the sense of physical release and giving up, usually a part of our soul, we'll call it the angel or angelic part of our soul, tends to guide us away from trying to hold on too much. It's better to let go at that point because then the suffering obviously stops. While in the etheric body, we can witness what's going on in the physical world. And many people want to do that. There's a desire to get some kind of, well, we'll say closure to what the life has been like, to get a better understanding of what their life is going to be as well in the future. And so for all of those reasons and many more, a lot of people tend to hang on around where they have been used to living. They could travel, and they can travel at quite fast speeds relative to the way we normally do. They actually can fly through the air and go to other cities, other places. Many people don't, but some do, and witness whatever they're interested in seeing. Of course, a lot of people would like to see what's going to happen to those around them, the loved ones and friends, in their absence. What is their death going to mean to others? So the part of this etheric experience for a person at the end of their life is to get closure about all of the issues in their life that maybe they weren't quite comfortable with. Sometimes their relationships with certain people, family and friends, sometimes the resolution of certain matters of interest that they had, and maybe just to see, in a voyeuristic sense, who really misses them and who has some interest or concern about their death. And, of course, they realize that they are not dead. And, unfortunately, they can't communicate this with except to maybe some very young people who might have, like children under the age of 7, who might have still some etheric sight because their etheric and physical bodies aren't fully joined together and they actually can see relatives and understand them better. And in some cases, some people who are very psychic and have some of this ability native in them, and they might notice dead people, and they might see dead people. Of course, we all know that from certain movies. At any rate, this goes on more than half the time. Not everyone, though, decides that they would like to stay, and others say, hey, I think I'd like to leave. And with that thought, I would like to go to a break, a two and a half minute or so commercial break, and be back to tell you more about some of the basics of life after death and what the afterlife is like.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPill is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPill, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPill's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPill. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPill its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPill, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPill, that's ViroPill.org.
Hi, this is Niles McFlower again for Why Life Is, and we're back to cover more of the ideas involved in the afterlife and what happens when someone transitions over to the other side. If you would like to give me a call, you can at in the U.S., 877-876-5227, and in Canada at 888-815-9756. So, as I was saying, this is a very interesting idea that when we transition, some people like to stay around for as much as a week or two, or sometimes longer. Now, the people who stay very long, they can get trapped in the etheric body, and for various reasons, they lose sense over time and can become effectively what we call ghosts. And if you're interested in that, you can give me a call now, and I can talk about it with you. But ghosts are really a phenomenon that's rare. Most people think ghosts happen frequently because I know there's shows that tend to tell us on television that there are towns where there's so many ghosts, there's more ghosts running around than there are people, right? Well, actually, it doesn't work that way. Ghosts are luckily a very rare thing. They're caused by anomalous problems in people's personalities and the way that they died and factors that have to do with them not wanting to go over to the other side. The other side is a side in which the astral dimension, people are there because they desire to be there. They have to have desires to live in the ways that a life exists in this other dimension. And if for reasons of desperation or fear or we'll say anger or some other factor, a person really wants to stay in this dimension of time and space, well, they will, because their desire is to not leave. And amazingly, that keeps them earthbound. It's not a good thing, because after a while, their senses go, and it becomes very difficult for them to even remember who they are and what they're doing, and sort of like having a etheric version of Alzheimer's, except for very different reasons, and a person really kind of forgets a lot of things about themselves. But that's another subject, and we'll cover it someday. We'll talk about ghosts and all that phenomena and what we can do maybe to make sure we don't get into that and how others that might be in that position we can do something about. So let's go on and talk about those that eventually, which is almost all of us, go on to the astral dimension of time and space. What is it going to be like over there? Well, I can tell you from direct experience some of the things that I know about. And I think the first thing I want to mention is that the experience varies because there are 7 different distinct sub-worlds or sub-dimensions to this one giant, huge dimension of time and space. It's a dimension in which there's no physical or material energy. All the energy is at much, much higher frequencies than even the etheric or electromagnetic part of energies that surround us, or part of us, in this dimension. The energy is not only at a higher frequency, but it's at a different direction or phase than the energy which exists in this dimension. That means that in order to exist in this other dimension, you have to be a little bit more loving than you were while you were physically alive in most circumstances, because the direction of the energy is closer to the spiritual direction of God's own thought. Each higher dimension of time and space in general is closer to the thought of our Creator or God. Isn't that interesting? So as we die from one dimension and move on to a different one, we actually are moving in thought closer to the thought of our own Creator in general. I'm not saying everybody just suddenly turns into some kind of angelic being, just wonderful. No, I would say just the opposite, actually, in some cases. But if you were to compare a person's life before they moved on to a higher dimension and after, in most circumstances after, they usually are a bit more spiritual than they were before, because they're living within energies that are closer to God's, a little bit in some cases and a lot in others, depending upon whether they go to what I call the lower subdimensions of like the astral world as compared to the higher subdimensions. And there are seven of them because there are seven distinct types of subtypes of energy, of astral energy itself. Each one is composed of a type of energy that affects one of the seven major chakras or centers in each of our bodies. We have an astral body with seven chakras in it, and we have a physical body with seven chakras in it, as an example. And each one of those centers processes one of the seven different types of energy. I bet you didn't know that. That's right. That's how it works. And the energy itself, as it goes through our center, develops a sense. It gives us some information about the outside world around us. Collectively, all seven energies, once you are aware of them, tells you, it could tell you everything you need to know about your surrounding world. Most people, though, don't get a balanced amount of sense coming from their chakras about the outside world. Part of the reason is they're selfish. And when we're selfish, we block out some of our sense. Because we're focused too much on ourselves, some of the energy doesn't come through freely, it doesn't flow out freely, and the information we get isn't all that accurate. When that happens, unfortunately, we end up in a situation where we develop a thing called illusion. Even in the astral world, people have some of this illusion. Not as much, usually, in comparison, as they might have while they were physically alive. With less illusion, because the direction of the energies is a little bit closer to God's in thought, and a lot closer in terms of sense, the person usually is able to maintain a level of higher consciousness, meaning that they're more able to understand their surroundings and themselves, and they're able to be a closer with other people, more inclusive, we'll say. So, in general, the astral world is a more inclusive place than is the physical world. Even if you're a relatively selfish person here, you'll be somewhat relatively less selfish over on the other side. It doesn't make you necessarily a great angelic being, but it does mean that overall people get better by transiting from one lower dimensional space in which they share a body to a higher dimensional space. And the reason that it's so critical when you die that you get this, we'll say, ability, is that your consciousness, our consciousness, focuses in on the body that is in the space and energy that we're living within. So in the physical world, we're very focused on physical energy and the physical senses, and this gives us physical consciousness. But when we move on to the astral world, we end up with higher consciousness because we're focused on astral energy, which is closer to God's thought to some extent, our astral senses that tells us better what the information is around us, and therefore, with better information and greater awareness, we have somewhat better consciousness. I know that's a little complicated to follow all that. I hope you did. And if you're finding that interesting, you can give me a call and say, hey, I kind of like what you're saying. If you're not, that's okay too, but maybe we'll hit something else that you find interesting. I like to share a little bit about these more difficult ideas with people, because many times they don't know why it is that these things are happening. And I give little tidbits of that on the radio, at least, so that we all can become a little better understanding of how come things are the way they are. Of course, it would be far too complicated to go through all of the explanations of why these things are the way they are on the radio. There's just not enough time, usually. Okay, so once a person gets over to the other side, they're going to find themselves in one of seven of the subdimensions of time and space. What determines where they're going to be? Well, their own consciousness. Just what I just talked about. The more conscious someone is, the more they tend to be in a dimension of time and space that is more whole. It contains more of the complete types of energies balanced together of the seven energies that I mentioned. And therefore, their senses are working more completely. Their awareness is so much greater in general about themselves and others that they live far more inclusively and more lovingly with those around them than do their counterparts who are living in the lower dimensions, I call them lower, of time and space that are subdimensions in the astral world. So someone that is living, as an example, in the seventh astral subworld, where seventh ray, seventh type of energy is most plentiful, those people are usually greatly imbalanced in their centers. They have a relatively lower level of awareness, and they don't have as high a consciousness as someone who's living in the highest of the subdimensions, sometimes referred to as the first subworld. And those people in the first subworld have a great deal of balance, along with a great deal of freely flowing energy going through their centers, resulting in a much greater awareness and consequently much higher consciousness. And those then have more inclusiveness. They have greater love around them. They live as more as one with others instead of separateness and feeling isolated. It doesn't mean that the people in the lowest subdimension don't have increased love compared to what they had while they were physically alive, but it does mean that those in the higher realms are experiencing a much, much more intense sense of oneness with others and a sense of being close to their own creator, a feeling, truly, of being more one with God. And that's a great sense, isn't it? As a matter of fact, the highest two dimensions of the astral world, sometimes referred to as the spiritual subdimensions, are... Hello?
Hi, Niles?
Yes.
Hi. Well, I'm calling in. I'm listening to your show right now, and let me be...
Oh, hi.
Hi. Let me be the first to congratulate you on your new show. And
okay.
And some really good information that you're handing out. My question...
Fantastic. What is your name? What's your first name?
My name's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Okay. Now, you beat them so quick, I didn't even know where you came from. I'm not used to this format, so thanks for telling me you were a caller coming in. Rebecca, what did you want to know about or what did you want to express? Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of talk now about ascension or being on the path of ascension and that eventually there's going to maybe be two kind of 3D realities or whatever, where there'll be the higher dimension that'll be on one planet, maybe a spinoff. I don't know if you've heard or had any.
I've heard some things said about that. Well, go on with what you want to say, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was just wondering then how that's going to be if people are going to decide to go to one place or the other, or if you have any kind of thought or feeling on that.
Well, Rebecca, let me tell you this. What I know of the afterlife is this, that we go on beyond just the astral dimension onto a place called the monastic or mental dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are going back to becoming our soul in full context and full consciousness. We're actually growing back to that state through this system of becoming more aware and more conscious and functioning more like our soul. Only a few of us, when going back to our soul, will choose to leave this world and, for various reasons, want to live in a different world completely. It's a fairly rare event that souls leave a planet. They do sometimes, But most of us are going to choose to reincarnate again into this reality, into the physical reality, and start all over again.
Oh, I see.
That's how it works in general. That doesn't mean that some people can't change worlds, but it's a relatively rare event. I know that some people believe it isn't, and some people believe that we're all kind of moving around like quickly from one world to the next, but that isn't my understanding. It isn't my experience with it, and so I can only report what I know about it. How does that fit your understanding?
Well, you know, it kind of all seems like maybe it's the buzzword now about what's going on. I know that energy has speeded up, and people are becoming more, say, consciously aware and looking at, you know, their beliefs and stuff like that. I was just wondering what maybe the kind of connection was between what you were saying and this ascension. So I'm still trying to kind of just muddle my way through it, you know, anyway, overall. So I wanted to get kind of like your opinion on what you may be, or, you know, what your thoughts were on it.
Well, why don't I complete the thought by giving you a little more understanding of this journey of the soul. It's okay to be off the subject, because when I talk about the afterlife, it certainly is inclusive of the idea of how a soul goes through its journey. In general, each of us are here because the soul, who we are, like, think of it as a clone of, we were in full soul consciousness when we started our journey. And unfortunately, the soul cannot come here in totality and exist without illusion, just as we cannot. It realizes that in its own domain, it only has a body and senses that are virtually clear and unillusioned in comparison to the ones that we have to live in the lower dimensions of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
The way that life is created is that spirit has to join with form, with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do so dimensionally in each plane of dimension that we exist in order to grow more of our creator. The purpose is to grow more of our creator in the process. And the soul would like to do that in the lower mental, the astral, and the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to achieve that, it has to make a clone of itself, which is us, and says, okay, I'm going to give to you a personality with a lower mental, a astral, and a physical body and senses. And now you can go to those realms, starting with the physical, and try to grow more of our creator there. But unfortunately, you're going to become illusioned in the process because the energies there produce a lot of false understandings. So our consciousness will drop rapidly. And in order to get back into the soul, we literally have to grow our consciousness to that state through these experiences in steps going through other dimensions of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
It literally takes hundreds, if not thousands, of years experientially to ourselves. In time here, it takes less than 100 years. But still, it takes a lot of time for us to regain an understanding of who we really are. And then we just literally become our soul. It's like waking up to suddenly being this great being and saying, wow, this is who I've always been. I just forgot.
Uh-huh.
So does that help you understand my perspective of the situation?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, pretty much what I believe. You put it really into words quite well. And maybe there's kind of two other things you can talk about with the soul is contracts that we supposedly come in with other souls and leaving the body. There's like a reverse process where people stop eating maybe, what, 3 days before they're going to pass over and stop drinking water. And then eventually the last thing to let go is the soul, to let go of the body. Do you know?
Well, let's talk about both those, Rebecca, and see what if the first thing is in terms of having a contract, as you put it.
Mm-hmm.
When we move on, especially to the monastic or mental world after the astral, we spend a lot of time with hundreds of other, we'll call them people. They're people that are very advanced compared to who we are today,
mm-hmm.
Because their consciousness, like our own, will have advanced along with our ability to sense. And we, during the time that we live in the mental world, some of that time is spent in actually going through mock development of a future life together. So it's sort of like living in the future as much as it is in the past. because time is really a crucial element in the dimensionality of the mental world. And people actually get the experience, go through the experience of interactively working together as though they were beings in a new lifetime
mm-hmm.
here in the physical world in their next lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually do this hundreds, if not more times, because the scenarios sometimes don't work out. One person chooses a type of personality that doesn't work as well with a lot of others. And really the thought is to try to collectively work together. It's very difficult to do because each person, when one person changes the results of the others. It's sort of like the butterfly effect on steroids. And so you have this tremendous change whenever you change some elements of the system. But nonetheless, what they're trying to do is trying to find out what the best personality, coming from karmic issues and coming from developmental issues, would be for each new, quote-unquote, personality that's going to be developed, how that personality would best be served and how it would serve all others when it incarnates again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating, I don't know exactly what to call it because it isn't really a real experience, but it's certainly like a virtual experience. And that is the contract, if you want to call it that. But the interesting thing is, you and I and all of us down here, we're all free agents. We're all capable of forgetting that contract, which we probably have done by now, and going off in directions and doing things that maybe we would be embarrassed or even disgusted with at some other time.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we become illusioned. We become too self-focused and don't realize that we're here to share this experience together and to love each other and to be inclusive and to try to create more of our creator in ourselves and in others.
Mm-hmm.
So does that explain the contract business?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Okay, now, I have to tell you, I went way over my time on going to commercial at this point. So
okay.
what I'd like to do is invite you to call back again, and then we're going to go to commercial for about 2.5 minutes. And when I come back, if you want to call back on, we can talk some more, but I should go to commercial at this point.
Well, thank you so much, and I will wait to allow some other folks to call in.
Okay, so, nice talking to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And we'll go to break right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Hi, this is Niles McFlower, and we're back. This is Why Life Is, and we had a great caller. Thank you, Rebecca, for calling in, and terrific questions. I think those questions show a lot of thoughtfulness, and obviously you've listened to and read about this subject, these subjects before. I appreciate that call. Call back anytime you like. And for the rest of you, you can certainly give us a call at 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and 888-815-9756 in Canada. And I think that's wonderful that the Canadian folks can give us a call. I'm in a station here locally where we just have a number for the U.S., so it's nice that Canada can reach us as well. Love it. Okay, so let me go on, and I'll try to blend some of the things that I was talking about with Rebecca, which is about the journey of the soul, which is kind of like a whole series of programs we could have about that idea, with the idea of just the afterlife and the basics about it. You may have heard me say in this last segment that we go on to not only live in the astral subworlds, and not just stuck in one, by the way. A person can begin in one of the lower subworlds and actually raise their consciousness. I know that that sounds impossible, but you can. And you can actually live out your life in a higher subworld. Unfortunately, the reverse is also possible. I know it sounds pretty stupid. Why would anybody do that? But it is possible to begin existence in a higher subworld and, for reasons of selfishness, literally lower one's consciousness into a lower subworld of the astral dimension, because this is the dimension of desires and its emotionality. And if people become very emotional and desirous of things that basically are selfish, they can literally block themselves from being able to live in a higher subdimension because they can't remain conscious. They literally fall asleep and go to a lower dimension, lower part of the dimension in a lower subworld. I hope I'm not confusing you on this, because this is a little complicated, I know. Beyond the astral dimension, people eventually, although it may take hundreds and hundreds of years, yes, it's a long time, they eventually go on to live in the monastic or mental dimension. Now, that word mental sounds like, well, am I living in my mind? No, it's like living here. It's like you still have a body. You still can interact with people. There's even sex. Yeah, I know. I've said the big three-letter word there, sex. There's even sex in the mental dimension between people. So it isn't some kind of sterile environment where people are walking around like eggs on a non-existent body or something. No, it's just the opposite. It's a much fuller dimension where people live a greater life than they lived even in the astral world, and especially in the physical. They're becoming more their souls in many respects. The astral dimension is sort of a medium place where between the two, where people tend to overcome their emotional selfishness and become more loving. That's a wonderful thing in itself, isn't it? And they become more inclusive. And I think the inclusiveness is incredible as well. I love when people are inclusive around me here, and you can imagine what that would be like in the astral dimension. But in the monastic dimension, people have usually gotten through all that. Their desires are not forcing them to live in certain ways. And at the same time, they are not in a position where they are, we'll say, a victim of their own emotional side. For the most part, they are detached from the urges and desires that are self-focused. Instead, they are much more concerned about developing truth in their thought, and about being close in ways that go far beyond just the closeness of feeling with each other. They still have feelings, but their feelings are refined feelings. They're feelings about really wanting to touch people in ways that are much, much more meaningful than the ways that we have here. Let me give you an example of that. I'm sure it's hard to follow it just when I say it in a conceptual way. In the astral world, let's start in the physical world. In the physical world, we tend to be close to someone who we share some type of physicalness with sometimes, and if not that, then at least we have something in common that is material between us. It could be a shared house, a shared place of residence, a shared bank account, a shared way of making a bank account, a shared number of ways that we interrelate in terms of the way we dress, the way we touch each other in a physical sense, so many different ways. In the astral world, you can add to those ways by directly feeling the feelings of other people, directly feeling them. Remember the word empathy? Empathy. Well, this is like something much greater than empathy here in the astral world. In the astral world, you really feel what other people are feeling and vice versa. That's a kind of unique thing, isn't it? So if you were having, say, a sexual experience with somebody, you could actually feel what they're feeling while you would be having the experience with them in the astral world. A little bit different than you have here, right? Now, you could do that here, but most people are too illusioned to be able to use their astral senses very effectively for that purpose. Beyond that, when you get to the monastic world, the mental world, not only can you feel what other people are feeling in a very refined sense, a very loving sense, but you also can understand what people think and know their thoughts from the inside out. Then you share the thoughts of yourself with them. For a lot of people, this is scary because they say, well, then there's no privacy, is there? What if I think some bad thoughts? People will know what I'm thinking. Well, you see, that's the whole point. When you live your life that way, you start living your life where you don't think bad thoughts. You actually discipline yourself in ways in which your thoughts are really about goodness. And that's kind of like the whole point of living in this other dimension. Because you're becoming a soul. We're all becoming souls when we reach the mental dimension. It's a wonderful place. It can be scary if you look at it from our perspective. But for those who live there, they consider it true wonderment. It's like being part of God and having that experience right there and then. I hope that helped. Those examples are kind of lame compared to me giving a lot more direct examples of experiences I've had, but there's no time in a show that's going through the basics of these very, very deep and complex questions to do it in an hour. I'd love to do it, though, and I will, I promise. On some shows, we'll just spend one little piece of what it's like to live in these other dimensions of time and space and what those experiences are really like. And I'm sure you'll find that interesting. I hope you will. I find it fascinating myself. Okay, so moving into the concept then of how this all joins together, the purpose is for each of us to grow back into becoming our soul and to lose the illusions and to gain a sense of integrity with our own creator and to realize that our existence is based upon growing more of this great being that exists everywhere. And that life is part of this being. Life is the growth of this being, and we're here to develop life in a certain way so that it resembles, but it is not a carbon copy, of God. Because part of God is freedom. Part of God is creativity and freedom. And if we don't create more of it and we don't do it in a free way, then it isn't God at all, you see. And that's what makes it so difficult, is that we can't take a script that's given to us and just follow it and say, gee, okay, I'm going to be whatever this says, and I'll just do it, and then I'll accomplish my goals. No, unfortunately, we're here to be creative and to do something that is original and unique and grows our creator in ways that truly, truly is something beyond where we are and where it is at the present time. You might say, well, how could God, if God is everything, grow more? Well, that's the whole point. God started off saying, gee, I am everything. Isn't this wonderful? And then it waited a few zillion years, and it said, I'm still everything, and it ain't still wonderful. And I don't know if it said ink, but maybe it would, you know. And it said, eventually, you know, I like to be more than I am. This is kind of boring. I want to be more. And how am I going to be more? Well, I'll create a thing called life that will be free to create or not more of me in some way. But creating more of me is also creating more of itself, and it does so free to do anything it wants. I hope that's helping to understand, because that's what our soul is trying to do. And that's the position we're trying to grow ourselves back into by moving ourselves through these dimensions of time and space, dying from one and moving into another, where our consciousness somewhat rises in each step, and we're moving back to being our soul. Wow. I hope that all came together for you. So we're all trying to do what our soul is doing, and it's what it's doing is more clearly a part of what God is doing. Yeah, we're all trying to become part of God. It's just that some of us are lost. And some of us are so lost that instead of creating more of God, we're creating non-God. We're creating more of a separation of ourselves from everything and everyone else. When we create that separation, we experience the negative of God. What is the negative of God? Well, it's the destruction of life to some extent, destruction certainly of the growth of life, and the reduction of consciousness, the reduction of meaning in life, the most important thing I think many people think of, the meaning in life goes, and so does things like the ability to enjoy life, enjoyment. I'm not talking about happiness now, I'm talking about enjoyment, the ability to experience others and ourselves as being something special and uniquely part of this great being. We lose that. And when we lose that, oh, we become lonely. We become miserable and depressed. We lose the very essence of what is so special about life, and particularly human life. Because I'll tell you another little thing about human life. I'm on a roll, huh? Another thing about human life is that human life is unique compared to the other types of life below it, like animals and plants. I know that some people think we're all part of animals, right? No. Human life is special because we're the part of life, the very first part of life, that can understand the things I've been talking about in this whole hour. We understand that we are part of our Creator. If we choose to, we can do this. Because we have two senses, the heart chakra and the crown chakra, that are both developed to the point where we're conscious of the information these senses supply. And what do they supply information about? That we're part of God. And animals don't have that sense. So the most intelligent of the apes, orangutans and chimpanzees and whatever, gorillas, they can love each other. They can give to one another, but they can't love God. They can't understand God. They don't even usually have any clue what God might be. And in human beings, even if we are developed on different planets, even if we're developed on this planet in different places and isolated from everyone else, we all search for our Creator. It's a common experience that we're searching for our Creator, and also to create more of our Creator in some way. That's why religion is so commonplace. That's why spirituality, even beyond religion, is part of every society that has ever been developed. Yeah, even the most hideous of societies still have some elements of spirituality in them. Some of them are pretty bad, I'll admit, but they still have some element. And they use, unfortunately, these senses wrongly, because they become illusioned, and therefore their spirituality may not represent truly their Creator. But at least they're looking for that. At least they're having some sense about it. Isn't that amazing? I bet you didn't think about that, did you? Because that's what all this is about. It's about going back to getting that complete awareness and complete consciousness of who we really are and what we're really here to do. I'm hoping that this broadcast and maybe any future dialogues we might have will help all of us to become better attuned to that understanding, that we're really here to create more of our Creator. And there's a whole bunch of ways that hopefully I can share with you on how to do that better. And maybe you can do the same with me. Enlighten me. Call me up, and I'll gladly listen. And this is what this journey is about. And I hope that this show will lead us in that direction, because I've been doing it for 3 years here in this area, which is the Phoenix area, and a lot of people have told me that it has led them closer to that understanding. Now, the afterlife is supposed to do that in a natural way by relieving us of the illusion of each lower body that we die from. When we shed that body, and I call it shedding, to me it's like you wear out the senses because you were so selfish. The body dies as a result of your own illusions, of our own illusions. And the results are that we then go on to a higher dimension of time and space where we naturally, through grace, I call it, become more conscious. It's also science. The system is designed to allow us to become more conscious every step of the way. And it sort of leads us into growing back into being our soul. What a beautiful system. When I first discovered this, I was doing out-of-body experiences in a sensory isolation tank. I'm going to date my age now. This was a long time ago, more than 30 years ago. Can you imagine that? Yeah, more than 30 years ago, I was director of a mental health institute, and they're doing experiments in sensory isolation in a field called noetics, allied with psychology. That my background was in psychology. And so the result was that people were discovering that they were having out-of-body experiences, and sometimes they left this world completely and would go on to these other dimensions of time and space, mostly astral. And it was amazing, just amazing, because I didn't believe it at the time. I had to experience it for myself before I would believe it. And once I experienced it, I said, oh, there's a lot more to this than just being a psychotherapist and helping people to get their, you know, emotional problems fixed. This is much more important. And so after 10 years or so, it took me a while, I know, to give up my practice and do all that stuff. But after 10 years or so, I decided, well, you know, I think I'll try to teach people what I have learned and share with all of you these experiences, hopefully to help us all become something greater in our life here. Because what I've learned is we're all going to find out what I'm telling you is true within a short time, because we're all going to transition to the next dimension of time and space within what? I don't know how old each of you are, but probably, certainly within the next half century to a century, we're all going, right? Okay. So I don't have to worry about convincing you, because you're going to be convinced yourself. But the real issue is here and now. Can I convince some of us to maybe this afterlife experience has something to teach us about living here and now? If we can live in less illusion, with more inclusivity, more love, and more truth and integrity and beauty in our lives, right now, we will be way ahead of the game, tremendously. Because I can tell you one of the greatest regrets anybody has is after they leave here and they go on to live in the next dimension of time and space, the astral subdimensions, what they find is, gee, I just wish I understood that when I was physically alive, because now I can't change the physical world anymore. I'm here. I'm not there. And I don't have a physical body to interact with people who do live there. Oh, yeah, through psychics and other things, there may be a little bit of communication that can go back and forth. But generally, that's it. You're living in another dimension of time and space. You're done with here. Now is the time. For all of you out there that are hearing me, now is the time to make the change. Now is the time to do something and to be something greater than who you have been. Give me a call, and we can talk more about that in the next show, because I certainly will be interested in doing that. I just wanted to mention, for those of you who might be in the Phoenix area, this Monday, I'm going to be over at Borders Books and Music in Glendale from 7 to 8:15, and I'm going to be talking about intelligent life on other worlds. Hopefully, if you can attend, come by the Glendale store. And on the 21st, which is also Monday, I'll be at Mesa Fiesta, which is clear across the city, from 7 to 8:15, Borders Books and Music, Mesa Fiesta. store. And then I'm going to be talking about where did God come from? Yeah, where did God come from? And if you're interested in that subject, come by if you're in the Phoenix area. And for those of you living elsewhere, let me know where you're at, and I'll let you know where I might be, and we can meet each other in that location. At any rate, I hope today's show has been interesting and fun, and if nothing else, enlightening to some extent. And hopefully next week we'll go into a new subject that all of you will find just as interesting, if not more so. You can email me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. And I'll try to see what you're interested in doing. And this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. Until next week. Thank you.